Now please welcome to the stage Rainbow List high flyer and founder of the charity Are You Coming Out, Wayne Dizzy.
Hello. How are you? I've got things. How are you? Oh, two. Hi. Hello. Hello. I'm going to put my things down. Here we go. Thanks, guys. Thanks. I feel like Britney Spears a little bit. Is that a good cultural reference? I'm not sure. Okay. So we've got an amazing panel today. We're going to introduce them one by one, and then we're going to get right into it. We've got about 45 minutes, and the idea of this panel is to really explore the experiences of coming out. So I really hope you enjoy it. So let's bring the panel out. So Adele Roberts is first. Adele? She should be coming out.
Hey. Didn't work.
Hi Adele, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Okay. Thanks for laughing.
And can you please welcome Charlie Craggs to the panel? Amazing. And last but not least, we might have a fourth member of the panel joining us later, but for now, if you could welcome Jamie Hensley. And apparently I need to do this as well.
Hey!
Nice.
Okay, well, amazing. Let's get going. So, Jamie, if you want to take a seat on the sofa all by yourself at the moment.
On my own.
And if Sherelle turns up, she can join us a bit later on. Okay, so.
Nice.
Welcome. How's everyone feeling?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So you all know about Are You Coming Out. You all know the purpose of the charity. It's to share experiences of coming out, to hopefully inspire and support other people that haven't taken that step yet. So my first question is to Adele. What was the biggest challenge that you faced before or during the process of you considering coming out? What was that biggest challenge?
Yeah, I think, being honest, the biggest challenge for me was the decade, because it was the 90s.
Okay.
And I think things are a lot better now, a lot different, and I wish I had something like Are You Coming Out, which is your website, to go to and just see that I wasn't the only one. I felt like I was the only person. I lived in a town called Southport, which is northwest England, and I think that contributed as well, because there weren't many people that were out that I knew. So there was only really a couple of famous people and nobody in my town, and I thought I was the only one.
Pardon? Who were the famous people that you remember?
Elton John and Martina Navratilova, that was it. That's all I remember. And I felt like my family would reject me, and I felt like I'd be judged. And I think another hard bit was coming out to myself as well. I kind of felt like the only one in my family, and why is it me, and the only person in my school probably that would be gay. And once I'd kind of thought about that for about a week and accepted it, I just thought, well, this is who I am, get on with it.
Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant. I forgot, we've got drinks as well for everyone. I don't know if someone can bring the drinks on for us. Is that okay? Sorry? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so Charlie, do you want to tell us about the biggest...
Oh, Sherelle's
here, everyone! Hey! Yay! Let's welcome Sherelle.
Trying to be Beyonce and make it.
All
about
I'm sorry I'm late. I had to get the drinks trolley.
Sherelle was on one of the youth programmes at Stonewall. So that programme is all about developing who you are personally and looking at your identity. So hopefully Sherelle can share some of those experiences a bit later. So, drinks. It's very Alan Carr, isn't it? I'm guessing there's not WKD Blue in here. Ah, okay. Would you like to help yourself? Because I've got absolutely no idea what it is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
I'm going to have one of those. Brilliant. Now, do we leave this here for the whole thing? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so Charlie, what was the biggest barrier that you faced before you came out?
Similar to Adele, like, it was a mix of... Oh, I can hear myself now. It was a mix of the struggle with myself and the struggle of not seeing other people like me around me, because I went to I grew up on quite a tough council estate. I still live there now, represent. And I went to quite a tough all-boys school as well. So I was in a super, and I grew up in a family of boys as well. Like, I have all brothers and a dad, obviously, and my mum is not, she's not manly, but she's not that femme either. So it was a very masculine upbringing. And so I never felt reflected, and I got bullied from about the age of 7. I remember that the first time I got called a fag was when I was 7, which is quite young. So like I always felt like being gay was something wrong, and like I kind of resented myself for it, and especially not being gay, but more the feminine thing, which makes sense now, duh. But so like I went to an all-boys school, and I was the only one there. Like now, there's half of them are gay, but like back then, I was the only one who was out, and I got really badly bullied for it, and I didn't have a friend the whole time I was there, and it was kind of. Yeah, just I guess that I just was struggling with not feeling myself, like within myself wanting to be gay, but also not feeling reflected. So that was kind of my biggest struggle.
So again, reflecting what you said, Adele, kind of like coming to terms with who you are, like yourself first before.
It was a lot of like self-hatred, like self, I can hear myself. Sorry, let me know if you can't hear me.
You love that mic.
Yeah, I do. I just feel like I just keep wanting to touch it and go like, but yeah, it was more that just like it was something in myself that I was not happy with, and like Adele said, if your website had been around then, I think I would have been able to accept myself much sooner.
Cool. Okay. And Adele, being in the public eye, were you? I mean, obviously, you know, you're doing really well. You're on early breakfast.
Yeah.
Very early start on Radio One. Have you always been out in your career?
Yeah. In terms of my career, I've always been out. When I started DJing, I was about 18, and yeah, in my personal life, I'd always, once I went to university, I had a girlfriend, and that was totally normal, and everyone was cool about it, was in Leeds, and that was all right, but I hadn't had that conversation with my mum and dad, and I went and did quite a big TV show, and was just myself on the TV show, talked about the fact that I was going out with a girl, and that's how they found out that I was gay. And that TV show was Big Brother. So
what year was that now? When was that?
2002. Yeah, okay. So it's quite a while ago now, but I wish I'd told them before I did that show, because they were quite surprised and didn't know. And
okay.
I just feel like I wish I'd had that conversation with them and trusted them a bit more. Okay. And I ended up doing, the first thing I did when I got to the BBC was do a documentary on coming out, which Jamie helped me with, which was absolutely fantastic. And he helped make it trend worldwide. And it reached so many of our young listeners. And I first of all just wanted to make sure that people knew that I was gay, so that if they needed somebody to, I don't know, take inspiration from, if they were feeling a bit worried about it, they could do that. And also, I've forgotten what I was going to say now. yeah, but that was one of the first things I wanted to do. As soon as I got that job at the BBC and they have the facility to make documentaries, tell as many people as possible, so that if there are any young listeners that were coming to terms with coming out, hopefully it would help them.
Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant. And Jamie, so I know that you've done some work with Adele.
Yeah.
You've also always been out since you've been in the public eye, haven't you, as well?
Yeah, I mean, I came out... Whoa, I'm loud. I came out when I was on X Factor about 3 weeks into the competition, because I've been out since I was 14, and I didn't face struggles, which is, I think, another part of the story to tell. I mean, I was very accepted and very loved and had a great welcoming, and I think that needs to be as talked about as much, that it is there to be had. It doesn't always have to be scary. So, yeah, I came out on the show because I felt a little bit like I was cheating. I didn't want to do the whole fake boy band shit where you just stand there and go, well, I'm into girls, when I've been in a relationship for 7 years for a guy, so it was lying. So, but it wasn't a tough decision for me, but I understand, and being in this industry, why so many people don't do it, but I just wish they would, because it makes me, when I was 14, real young, coming out, that to me was like, he's gay, I can be gay, that's fine. It was having someone that you didn't know, but you felt that you knew, to relate with, so that was why it was important for me to do it straight on.
And was there anyone around you at the time that you know was having conversations with you, telling you maybe it was a bad idea to be out if you wanted to kind of be successful in this industry?
No, I mean, I was very lucky. I mean, the show and Psycho and everyone really supported me, and they wanted me to do it from the offset, and I said, let me wait a few weeks because I want to be judged on the band and the singing, and I don't want to do it after we come off the show. But they totally supported me, and I mean, I've been very lucky and very, very well supported, but I've seen it happen to other people in the industry where they've been told, you can't come out, it's not going to do well for your sales. And I think I like to think that I'm testament to say it means bugger all. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Okay. I've got just as much a female fan base as my other three band members. I just like boys.
Brilliant. Simple. Simple. Sherelle, what about you? What was the biggest kind of block that you'd put there regarding coming out?
It was quite hard for me. I wasn't expecting that to be said. I mean, I came out when I was 15 and I was going to a Roman Catholic all-girls school. So it was a bit daunting for me at the time. I come from a Caribbean household. I was brought up in Jamaica as well for a lot of my life. So for me, it was really kind of like I didn't know anyone that was gay, and it was kind of unheard of then. So it was a big decision for me to kind of come out, and it sort of came out by accident. I mean, I kind of got a bit riled up about it. I was very kind of like, I made the decision and I was like, there's no point, you know, hiding it from yourself. I kind of knew who I was by then. And then it kind of came out in an argument, and I didn't receive very, you know, positive comments from that at all. So, yeah, it was really hard at the time. My parents took it really, really hard as well. And so I was kicked out, and I was kind of ostracized for a while, so it was quite difficult at that time.
Okay. But I think what you said, Jamie, is really interesting. Like, for me personally, I didn't really have any problems once I came out, but the fear that I had before was just
massive,
awful.
Massive, the fear.
You're really loud.
The fear before me was because I was a really chubby kid, and I, in high school, was that fat kid. And the gay thing wasn't an issue, it was just I was that fat kid that sings. Then when I tried to fit in by getting into sport and losing weight and fitting with the boys, then I found out I was gay, and I was like, oh my God, I've just become popular and fitting in with the boys. I've now got something else that's gonna make me not liked. And that fear was awful. But I believe so much by the day that I came out is the day that I genuinely feel like I was reborn. I was like, this is who I am. And I didn't care. After I'd said it to the first person, I think I did it on MSN Messenger, to one of the boys in the football team, and I was like, I think I like boys. And from then, I was like, oh my God, that feels really good. Okay, fine. And I didn't care if I got negativity, because I was proud of what I was and who I was.
So talking about telling that first person, which I think is probably like the biggest deal, isn't it, at the time, you build it up in your head. Adele, for you, who was that first person and how did that go?
I can't remember, you know. I think with me, my biggest problem was me.
Okay.
Just trying to accept it. And as I say, I really thought about it for about a week and tried to weigh up all... Just whether I should actually be gay, like it's a choice. You know, I was really young, so I thought that I could choose not to be gay. But with me being mixed race as well, my mum and dad had always said to me, just be proud of who you are, never be sorry for who you are. And in the end, that's what got me through. I was like, well, if it makes sense for that, it makes sense for being gay. But yeah, I don't remember telling anybody, apart from my mum and dad later on.
Okay.
But yeah, there was no first person, I don't think.
Charlie, what about you? Do you remember?
I was the same as Adele, where it was okay. Myself that was the biggest block, because I should have clarified, sorry, is that I'm obviously transgender. So when I should have said that when I was telling my coming out story, but I just automatically went into the sexuality thing. But it was myself, and like for a long time, I was very suicidal and in a very dark place, and it kind of just got to the point where I didn't want to live anymore, and I was living as a gay guy, but I knew I was trans. I've always known I was trans, like even before I knew I was trans, even before I can remember, I knew I was trans. I was trans because my mum remembers further back than me saying, oh, I wish I was a girl and stuff. And it just got to the point where I was gonna kill myself, and I just knew that it's like make or break. It's like take the leap of faith and transition or die. So I told my mum, she was the first person I told. But like, it was more of like an evolution rather than a coming out. It wasn't like she knew, and it had been something that I talked about a lot, but I just never wanted to be trans because prior to like 2 years ago, there was no really trans visibility. There was no trans representation in the media, or at least positive. It was only like Jerry Springer and like sex like workers, and do you know what I mean? Like that, they're the only stories you'd hear about in the media. So like, I didn't want to be that because I didn't want to die and I didn't want to be a freak show. And but then when you start getting these positive representation, I was like, I can do this now. So that's when I kind of told my mom, I was like, oh, I think I can do this now, yeah.
Okay. And you touched on mental health there, obviously, which is the theme of this whole weekend, which is just absolutely brilliant. And I know there's going to be a panel following us, and they're going to focus on mental health specifically, but I think it'd be good to just touch on that. Does anyone kind of feel like, you know, their mental, emotional health suffered, you know, significantly when they were kind of going through that process of trying to work out how to deal with this
I
thing?
I just felt that I was... Yeah, and I do, because I went through a stage of depression. Even though I was proud of who I was, it was the lying to fit in. It was the guilt, do you know what I mean? So I was really happy with who I was, but I couldn't necessarily shout it to the world because I was 16, living in Luton, which isn't a very nice place. You know what I mean? I didn't have a world outside other than my school. So it did, I started to like, get angry and annoyed at myself that why aren't you just standing up? Why aren't you just saying this? You're acting all day at school, then you're coming home at night and crying in your bed. And then I was getting pissed off at myself. So that majorly got me really depressed at myself and started to dislike the person I was for about a year of my life because I didn't have the strength to be who I am now. And I wish that there had been something like, are you coming out? Or a teacher or a friend to turn to that could have been like, no, it's okay.
So at the time then, did you see what you were experiencing as depression? Is that how you saw it at the time, or is that only something you can
as an adult I can look back and know it was that? But it was, do you know what I mean, going out drinking a load and stupid things like reaching out to guys on chat sites. I was 14 years old and I was on chat websites chatting to middle-aged men. It wasn't right. But I was in a really dark place because my normal life was this straight kid that was into whatever. And as much as I was proud and I told a few people, when I was first coming to terms with it, there is a route that can get really dark and seedy for young gay, trans, bi, anybody. There is a dark route that can be taken. It's a very, very narrow path that you take. And that was what my mum, when she sat down with me, she said, that's what I was worried about. She said, I don't care that you're gay. I just don't want you, like you said, there was no one representing trans people. It was all sex workers. And all she knew of the media was gay guys get HIV and they go out and they have 10 boyfriends and they go out drinking and take drugs in Soho. That's all she knew. And it wasn't until I found my local scene and I found other gay people and friends to talk about it that we became a family that actually... it educated my family for them to be like, okay, we get this now. We understand that you're safe. And that's what scared me. I didn't think I was safe at the beginning. I didn't know where to go.
And I think that's a big fear that parents have, isn't it? You know, most parents only want their children to be happy. And if any representation they're seeing of the LGBT community is negative, then naturally parents are going to be really worried. For you, Sherelle, did you have people that you could kind of turn to and talk to, or...
Not really. I mean, I did come out at a young age, and I remember the first person I told was a good friend of mine at school who kind of passed it round the school, which is quite unfortunate. And I started suffering from quite severe like depression and anxiety. I sort of refused to go to school for a long time. And so it's kind of like that. There was kind of points where I didn't have anyone at all, and I think it wasn't until I was about 17 and I moved in with my good friend that really came about. So
Adele, I'm really interested in kind of your career and kind of the route that it's taken and how open and honest you are about your sexuality on the radio and you know, just doing things like this and hosting the I Coming Out party. Do you feel like it's a duty that you have?
Do
you feel a responsibility, or do you just love sitting on pink sofas? And
well, I obviously love doing this and drinking this lovely drink. It's delicious. But yeah, I feel like it's my duty because I felt so alone when I was younger. I just hope that there's somebody out there, whether it's Southport, wherever it could be around the world, if you can help just one person, I think it's worth it. And that's why I try and be as visible as possible. And just going back to what Jamie said as well, in terms of mental health, I think you talking has made me realise that I felt quite depressed and quite alone. And what you said as well about when you come out, that weight that's lifted feels amazing. And that would be my main thing to young people. When you can come out, when it's safe to come out, that feeling of being able to be yourself for the first time ever is the best feeling in the world.
And I think that's a really important point, because I think we build it up so much, don't we? And maybe we do experience kind of, you know, low mood and anxiety. But when we come out and if it does go well, why would we kind of dwell on how we felt before that? And I think we just go forward, don't we? And I think giving ourselves the time to talk about those feelings and kind of recollect how low we might have felt, I think is really, really useful.
Yeah, and also I remembered what I was going to say before now as well. The main thing my mum and dad said to me after they found out I was gay was that they felt bad that I felt that I couldn't tell them. And I learned from that, because I kind of thought that they would be upset. I thought for them, and they said you should have almost trusted us more. So yeah, sometimes it can go really well, and sometimes you've got to give people the benefit of the doubt. They might be more accepting than you realise.
And if you hadn't got to the point in your personal life where you were comfortable being out and you'd started working in broadcasting,
yeah,
do you think it would have been really difficult to come out in the job that you're doing, in the organisation that you work in?
Yeah, there's a lot of people I've worked with in radio that are gay that weren't out on air, on the radio, and that just makes me feel a bit sad for them. But I think sometimes the BBC are really accepting, but sometimes in commercial radio you can't always be as honest as you want to. And
why is that, do you think, specifically in
I don't know whether it's to do with advertisers or the type of people that they're trying to target, whether they think it's a family station and being gay is not a family thing, which I think it is. I think sometimes as well radio can be a bit old-fashioned, and the people that run the stations are born from a different time, and that was one of my problems. I'm probably the oldest person on these sofas, but times have changed, and sometimes it takes people a while to get with the real world and understand that things have moved on and people are more accepting now. And I think sometimes with brands and money, people are scared, which Jamie will understand from record companies and sales. Sometimes they sacrifice the truth for sales, I think, yeah.
And do you think, you know, I think Adele was, well, you were talking about maybe representation is there on a certain level, but maybe it's not filtered upwards yet to decision makers and people that really kind of hold power. Would you say that's accurate when we're talking about the industry that you work in? Or
I think it's there. I think the visibility is more so maybe in my industry, because you have got, especially in the last few years, people, even straight people like Lady Gaga's, that are there for gay people and fight for gay rights, and you've got gay pop stars, and it is very, and Caitlyn Jenner in the Kardashians, in the entertainment industry, it's now become, I feel like we're finally getting our place in the world by being like, do you know what, this is amazing, we are an amazing community, and I feel sorry for people that aren't in our community, because they don't get to experience all the amazing things that we do and the stories and the people that we get to meet. I'm so proud of it. And I think when I entered into this industry, I wasn't going to let that happen. I wasn't going to let someone above me, I didn't care if it was Simon Cowell, he didn't have a choice. I was going to be me, and it was going to be, they got a bit like stepping on eggshells. They're like, right, you're going to record this song today, but it's called All About a Girl. Do you want to change your verse to this? And I was like, no, you're misunderstanding. My job is my job. I just want to fight for something. So I, in a way, feel like I educated Sony in how to treat a gay artist, because they didn't know. They were like, oh, Jamie, you sing lead on all the songs that are about girls. Are you okay with that? And I was like, look, it's fine. But the fact that I'd got to a point by my second album that they were thinking about my feelings as a gay man meant something more than stupidly, it doesn't matter. But
so they were genuinely listening to what you were saying?
Absolutely.
Did those Simon Cowell conversations happen? Do you remember any conversations with him specifically?
It wasn't necessarily with him and the high people. It was just because the music industry is full of gays. Like, literally, they're everywhere. But it was like you said, it's the men in suits the higher level, the men that are the people that have been in Sony for 40 years. My head of Sony, he was an American guy in his late 50s who would have no relation whatsoever to me being a young gay guy in England. Couldn't be farther apart. And it was him that said that. He was like, right, like I didn't know this was a thing before. We've always just let our gay artists sing songs and, do you know what I mean? Sing songs as they are. And he said, but actually, you're standing for something. Do you want to change it? And I was like, no, thank you. The fact that you have thought about that is enough.
And I think, just touching on what you've said, if I come back to you, Charlie, the idea of us as LGBT people being allowed to have a platform or, you know, not being challenged on being who we are is very different to actually being given a space to lead in a certain kind of area of activism. And that's what you're doing, isn't it, with Nail Transphobia? You're not just kind of letting someone allow you to be who you are. You're really kind of fighting for something with Nail Transphobia. Do you want to just explain a bit more about what that's about?
Okay.
I mean, I know already, but for everyone else.
Who doesn't know? Who hasn't Googled me here? No, it's basically, I call it fabulous activism. I use nail art for change, basically. I have a pop-up salon and I travel around the country and anyone can come and get their nails done for free because it's often at like public spaces like galleries and museums and stuff. And it just gives you a chance to just talk to someone and like usually someone who's never met a trans person. And you just get to like kind of humanize this issue because I think so often we're just so separate, like LGBT people in general, but kind of especially T people because the gay rights movement has come so far in like 20 years. So I guess like we're like 20 years behind them. So like maybe 20 years ago it would have been like, you know, like seeing like Stanford on Sex in the City and girls like, oh, I want a gay best friend. Like it kind of is just about humanizing it and showing that we're more than just like freak shows or Jerry Springer cases or like a statistic on like the murder report. So like I guess that it's just about like, yeah, just like humanizing it and just showing that trans people are nice, normal people. And
brilliant, cool. Yeah. I don't know if you need to put your mic.
Oh, right. Sorry, it's so annoying. Oh, yeah, that sounds better.
By the way, welcome to my new flat. I forgot to say that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I've just moved in, so Sky haven't been to fit the broadband yet, so it doesn't work. But yeah, and you should have taken your shoes off. But anyway, I want to talk a bit about labels. Like, personally, from my experience and from how I identify, I'm really comfortable with identifying as gay because that's, I think that word kind of describes the way I feel about myself really well. But from my job at Stonewall and from working at, you know, with Are You Coming Out, increasingly I think that people aren't necessarily comfortable with using, you know, those rigid labels of sexuality and gender identity. And very recently your good friend, George, came out in a way where he didn't use any labels, and I don't know if anyone saw how that was reported very quickly, as you know, as news can be reported these days. I think it was Newsbeat, actually. I remember reading the Newsbeat article, and it was, you know, George comes out and says he doesn't want to use any labels, and then they use the word bisexual, which to me was kind of like, okay, you don't need an LGBT person sitting behind a desk writing this to know that that doesn't really make any sense. So I want to come back to talking about labels in a bit, but I also want to ask if it's okay about George, about first of all, you know, how he's dealing with the attention around his coming out, how you've been supporting him. Full stop, that's the end of my sentence.
Nice. Yeah. I think it was a huge thing for him. I can't imagine what he must have felt because as far as I know, when we did X Factor, I was 22, and I've been out since I was 14. George was 18, he was a kid. And George, at that point, I think, was very much asexual. He hadn't even come into knowing who he fancied. So to have to do this to find out who he was in himself on a global scale, in front of the media and stuff like that, I can't imagine going through what I went through at 14, what he's doing now. So I think he's so brave, and I think he's so strong to have been able to, if he's been dealing with these feelings for so many years, and the way he did it, I totally respect, and I think the no labels thing for him is amazing, and he's doing really well. He's been overwhelmed with the support, and I mean it's hard as well because he isn't not coming out as gay or bi, whatever he's coming out as, because already having a gay member in the band as well, I think there's that extra pressure that when he wanted to come out, I'd come out and got an amazing experience. but that's kind of your thing. Where do I fit in? Do I just become the other one that likes boys, or do you know what I mean? I think it was such a hard thing for him to do. So
boy bands are only allowed one, aren't they?
I know, that was the rule. That's the what rule. I signed up for, so now I need to go and find Mr. Min.
You feel a bit pushed out?
I need to go, I'm going back to show. But yeah, it's he's doing really well, and the support's been amazing, and there has been a lot of arseholes in the media, certain reporters that I shan't mention, that decide to think it's okay to out people, and it pisses me off because I'm all for coming out if you're in a position of power, but whatever means power is, if you've got an influence, I think you should raise awareness. What I don't like is when the media reporters and journalists bait people and they're setting people up to see them fail, like it's, and gay reporters as well, let me add, this person is a gay man, goading for George's sexuality for the last 6 months. We've been dealing this with behind the scenes, going for it, trying to get every piece of information, any guy he's talked to, any girl he's talked to, any text he's ever sent. You're a gay man, that's a disgrace. You're making it like it's a witch hunt, like it's something wrong, like it should be plastered all over. My coming out was page 36 of The Sun, that big. That's how I wanted it. It wasn't news. It shouldn't be news. I'm gay, this is new. It should be, like you said, humanized, normalized. And for reporters in the media to still be doing that now, I think is a disgrace.
Okay, cool. And Shuelle, do you think a celebrity coming out is still news these days? Can you see why people are interested, why it's front page news?
I guess it's kind of like everything else, to be honest. Like every single thing a celebrity does is really under the limelight. And I really think it shouldn't be news anymore. We really want to humanize all these kind of things, as Charlie was saying, whether someone's a lesbian, bi, gay, trans, whatever. It shouldn't be as big as it is, but it still is, unfortunately. And I don't think that's something that will kind of die right now at the moment. It's still very much big news, oh my gosh, and it's a lot of this kind of like goading and stuff like that. And we've seen that in the past with quite a lot of celebrities too, so I don't think it will go for now.
Just going back to labels, how do you feel about using labels to describe yourself or don't
I'm
you?
I'm quite openly a lesbian and I don't mind those labels. But yeah, I mean, I do get a lot of, within the community, there's a lot of labels anyway. It's sort of like, oh, you're a femme, or you're, you know, this, a lipstick lesbian or whatever it is. And it's kind of just like, I don't know. I don't personally label myself as such. I'm just a woman who likes women. I don't really understand the kind of labels there. But there are a lot of labels on me. Especially because people say I'm quite a feminine lesbian. There's always a lot of, oh, you're so feminine. Like, are you bi? And it's like, it's a lot of that. So, yeah.
And I think that's an interesting point. And I think it's kind of, it relates back to the idea of coming out being like a single event or a process. And I know we've spoken before and you say that you have to come out
all the time.
Yeah. Charlie, do you kind of feel like coming out is more of a process than an event, or sounds like quite a
yeah.
big question.
Well, when you have a voice like mine, you don't have to come out too much as trans. But it was more just like I said about the coming out to myself was an evolution. Like I said, known for years. Like I'd known since I was like 4 maybe, but I'd always like kind of pushed it back and stuff. But I think it's. Oh, I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, it is that I definitely think it's more of an evolution. I think to just put it as a one-time thing is kind of like futile, really. And it's actually the harder part comes after you've come out, probably. Like if anything, like not harder, but like there's way more to it than just coming out once.
Okay.
For sure.
And Adele, I wanted to ask you about how. If at all much you're led in terms of the content for your shows and how open you are about kind of talking about yourself, because I know, you know, I remember when I first started listening to Scott Mills' show, and I think for me it was probably the first time I ever heard a Radio 1 DJ reference the sexuality if it wasn't straight, and I know that kind of gave me kind of a lot of confidence to know that someone could get a prime, you know, he's top dog at Radio 1, he had prime shows, and actually it be sometimes a focus of his show. It would be something that they would encourage. Are you given, as staff at the BBC, any type of guidance about the things you can share and the things you can't?
Yeah. We work with producers and they help us just keep on the right side of the line. So we're regulated by somebody called Ofcom and they just make sure that you don't do anything offensive, but that's more talking about people's religions or swearing or things like that. In terms of who you are, they encourage it, and I think the BBC's been the most open platform I've ever worked for, and I love them. I love the fact that they have a surgery. I love the fact that they have facilities to make documentaries. They have BBC Three where you can visualize things. So recently there was there's a show at the moment on the iPlayer about two transgender males that have gone back to Jamaica to see their families, which I thought was fantastic. And I think the BBC are at the forefront of just making sure that everyone's represented. Like you said, representation, just letting young people know it's okay, you're not weird, it's normal. And I think the BBC encourages that. So yeah, I can talk openly about having a girlfriend, no problem.
Because in my career, branching off from other being a singer, I found it difficult to get into TV or into radio for being a gay male still.
Okay.
Just because you've got people that necessarily are like one of my best friends, Rylan, who is so out there, amazing, and do you know what I mean, really like owns it. But me, I think that people always feel I kind of fit in the middle of you're a boy band, but you're gay, but I'm not overly camp. I can be, I'm as camp as Christmas when I want to be, but I haven't got like a scale. And I've found it hard that, because I speak so open honestly when I've been for radio tests or screen tests and stuff, I've got no problem saying about what guy I fancy if it's a hot topic or something like that. And that has actually been my downfall in a lot of going for moving forward opportunities in my career. And I think amazing that BBC don't make those barriers, which is it.
Ruby's on The Breakfast Show and most mornings he'll talk about the guys he likes. And he's on a huge show, the biggest show we have. Lots of younger people listening, children listening. And yeah, he's able to do that. So I feel really bad for you, Jamie.
I think it's really important. And I think as much as we're talking about our industry and what we do, I think that's what's important to say to anyone else in whatever industry, fight for it to be fine. Yeah. Fight for it to be okay. No one's gonna let it be okay if you just keep your mouth shut. So fight for your right, really.
Okay, and do you think there's ever any time when you shouldn't be out, where you should?
Maybe if you're, I do know that some people, not everybody lives in a place where it's gonna be accepted. So you just have to take care of yourself and just make sure that no one's gonna hurt you.
And what was Southport like? I've been, Southport Weekend though, I think I went
have
to.
Have you been?
Which was amazing.
Can you remember it?
Yeah, I remember
it. Oh right,
really well,
most people can't when they've been there.
It was really
good.
Good
night.
But as a place to live, and it's north, west, isn't it?
Yeah. It's in between Blackpool and Liverpool, so just on the coast.
And how was it for you? I know you mentioned it earlier on. How was it growing up there and compared to maybe how it would have been if you were growing up in London? Do you think that had an effect on when you came out, how you came out?
Yeah, no, to be fair, once I came out in Southport and a lot of my friends were from Southport and into clubbing, which thing helped. The clubbing scene's always been great with gay people and it was okay, it was fine. I've not really had much homophobic abuse. Even working on the BBC and doing these documentaries, everything has been totally good. So I've been really lucky. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And I think this is, for me, this is probably the most important question of the session. What I do with Are You Coming Out is obviously it's there to support people that aren't out yet. And there's no prescription, there's no magic cure, there's nothing you can kind of say to someone to help that experience kind of go any more smoothly because you don't know what their situation's like. But I'd like to think that it kind of supports in some way. If you were to give some advice based on your experiences to, you know, not just young people, anyone who's going through the experience of wanting to or feeling the need to come out as LGBT, what would that advice be? Sherelle, can I come to you first?
For me, it's really just about being yourself, really. That's all you can ever be, and you can't really hide that person. And sometimes it'll be easy, sometimes it'll be hard, you know, and I've obviously experienced a lot of the hardness of it, but it's never permanent. And the only thing permanent in life is change, really, and it will change and it will get better and you'll continue to feel more confident within yourself, and it's just the happiest feeling. Being yourself is so underrated, honestly.
So you just kind of just dive in and do it?
Yeah. Just okay. Dive in there.
Jamie?
I think coming out, if it's a positive, which it was for me, which was amazing, if it's a negative experience coming out, that's only, imagine our lifespan, that much, yeah, of negativity. Once that's gone and you're over that, you have got the rest of your life to be happy, and there's nothing better than being fully content and proud of who you are as a person, what you stand for. So I encourage, the younger the better. We need to get it in schools, we need to teach kids from primary schools that being gay is normal, so that if there's an 8-year-old, like I was at 8, I knew. I cried when I came home from a show because I fancied the male lead. I was 8 years old. I didn't know I fancied him, but if I'd have been taught well, I could have, from 8 years old, been transitioned into being normalised and lived all of these years happy like I have. So it's about, if it's a little bit of hurt for a lifetime of happiness.
That's a really good quote. I might use that. Charlie?
I agree. It's about living authentically, and you can try and not be who you are, but it's only going to take a toll on you, and that's the worst thing that you can do for yourself. You need to live and be you, and you only get one life, so you don't waste it. Like, I know it can be hard, like, hello, duh, but, and I spent a long time not being me, but, and don't get me wrong, like, my life's got a lot harder in a lot of ways since I've come out, but I've never been happier in myself because I'm finally being me and I'm finally being true to myself. So just take the leap of faith and do it for yourself. You deserve it.
Brilliant. And Adele, no pressure.
Yeah, these guys have smashed
it, really.
From
you.
I just say, welcome to the family. Yeah. That's how it feels, like a family. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Excellent. Well, that is the end of this session, and I've just realised I really haven't utilised the spinniness of this chair as much as I could have done. Please stay around, hang around for the mental health session, which is happening at 3 o'clock, I think. There's some really good speakers on that panel. That's going to be chaired by Matthew Todd from Attitude Magazine. That's it from us. I really hope you enjoyed it. If we can thank Adele, Charlie, Jamie, and Sherelle, and we'll see you later. Thank you.